This is Martin Zender reporting for work on a Monday morning. Welcome to the Revelation series. Now we're going to get into the time bridges that I've been telling you about, sewing events together by a thread of days that will lead us to the present day and to a counting of days toward the inauguration of the kingdom of God on this earth, which will be a delightful change of pace from the present conditions. Now, the continuation of the chronology becomes painstakingly detailed work after the birth of Abraham. It was easy, especially the Noah coming to the flood, 1656 F.A., birth of Abraham, 1948 F.A. It gets complicated now. Hang on, I got a update reminder here for my Wondershare Filmora. If you want to know what program I'm using here, it's Wondershare Filmora. I think it was like $12. Remind me later. Thanks. So, it's so detailed that, I mean, I can only report to you. I can't sit here and figure it out myself. You know how lost I get with numbers, and yet I'm bravely trying this. So I'm going to be sharing with you passages from Bader's book, and then I'm going to go to a website that I don't even know how to credit it. I can give you the web address for it, but it is really thorough. It's got some great stuff in it, some amazing charts, and all I can do is give you the address. I don't really know. There's not much to go. There's no name on it or anything. Like, who's doing this? But I'm going to share that with you as well. So with God, we know 1,000 years were not only as one day, but also as a watch in the night. A night has four watches, so that at the end of the fourth millennium, one night is over. No, actually, four nights would be over. Namely, the night that resulted from the fall of Adam, the so-called fall at the beginning of the first millennium. After the night of 4,000 years, it became day again due to the public appearance of Jesus Christ. That was in 28 AD, the public appearance of Jesus Christ. He was 30 years old. That is a huge year. And it was 28 AD. And if you want to jump ahead and get information on this, I spoke on this on the year 28. I spoke on this in Birmingham, Alabama. You can go to my homepage, scroll down a little bit, go to the Birmingham conference, and you see a list of 12 videos. I spoke on the year 28. That's one of the things I spoke upon. You can also find out about the September 23rd star configuration, September 23rd, 2017. I talk about that also in Birmingham. So it's not insignificant that 4,000 years that Jesus Christ's public announcement, baptized in the Jordan River, was 4,000 years from the coming of Adam. He answers the first Adam. He is the last Adam. You might say he's the second Adam, but I think a proper translation is he's the last Adam. There's no need for any other Adam. So in the year of the Exodus, which was 2513 F.A., the people of God had already been prepared for the chronological continuation. They were already prepared, Israel was, for the sewing together of years by one thing, the giving of the law. The law gave them feasts. The law gave them seasons to observe. And here is an important statement. No other people in the world has been given such a clear historical consciousness than the people of God. They needed to remember by oral traditions their times, and they needed to remember their seasons, and they did that by the cycles of the sun and by the cycles of the agricultural harvest. The harvest, the planting, the harvest, the agricultural season, I should say, the agricultural, the season. And it happened every year again, and by this they mark time. It's another way that they mark time. So no day was to be lost with this people, Israel. time consciousness for the sons of Israel was marked by the following facts. I'm going to give you several ways God used to bring time into the consciousness of Israel so that they, for us, would keep track of time and we could take up where they left off. We've talked about this over and over again, the day. The time of a day was determined by the setting of the sun. The day began and ended with the beginning of the night, which is great, I think, because I would hate for the day to begin during the sunrise and then you have the happy part of the day first and you look forward to the night. But in God's genius, the day begins with the beginning of the night. The night comes first, then the day. So the day was divided by the sunrise into two terms, namely evening and morning. Evening and morning, night and day as halves of the day. This characteristic is the basis for the later Latin name dies, D-I-E-S. That's Latin, it means day. It's derived from D-I, D-I-S, the prefix for separation and division. Separation and division. God loves to separate things and divide things. D-I, D-I-S, that's the Latin prefix. It means separation. Disembody. Disinformation. Disassemble. To dis someone. Wow, that's modern usage. Forget that. God's separating the day from the night for the sake of noting the passage of time. And I love it. I mean, I don't love it, but it's a necessary thing. God is into the business of separating now, of making differences. Let no man separate what God has joined, but let no man join what God has separated. And the Word of God separates families, separates people from each other. Truth separates what is true from lies. I've often said to you, I've quoted 2 Corinthians 6, or maybe it's 1 Corinthians 6, that God makes distinguishing fireworks out of belief and unbelief, out of light and darkness, out of Christ and Belial. And at the beginning of creation, he separates the land from the waters. Separation. He separates the night from the day. Dies. Separation. Separates it. This is the night. This is the day. We're not going to be a redistributionist of light. We're not going to say, it's not fair that the night should be night, so we're going to borrow light from the day and give it to the night. God says, no, there's a separation there. You're not going to borrow light from the day and give it to night because you don't think it's fair that the night is the night. Poor night. Oh, the poor night. It doesn't have any light in it. That's not fair. We're going to redistribute sunlight from the day, give it to night, make everything even. We're going to move everyone to Norway or the North Pole where during some times of the year the sun never sets. But this is not God's plan. So even the temple services of the evening and the morning sacrifices, there's another distinction made, as well as the evening and the morning prayers. This time and its subdivision required a continual observance of the sun. People had time to do it back then. They watched the sun. The sun was so important to them. So most people today, they don't even hardly realize there is a sun. I remember when I lived in Pennsylvania and they talked about the coal mining. We lived in an old coal mining town, Winburg, Pennsylvania. Some men would go into the mines before the sun came up and they would come out of the mines after the sun went down, so they never saw the sun. Every day was the same to them. This is a horrible way to live. It's a horrible way to live to not recognize differences starting with the day. This is why the circadian rhythm is so important. Your cycles, your body cycles. You roll over this to your own detriment. I'm finding this with myself. Sleep is so important, it's ridiculous. Why do we have to say this today? Why do we have to make a distinction between day and night? But then that freako Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, and so the distinctions between day and night are lost now. Because you can extend the day. Oh, lucky you. Now you can have your light on all night. You can screw up your circadian rhythm, and now you can sleep all day. Congratulations, because we have amazing blinds that just shut out the light. And now we need to get so much done, so much work done, that we have three shifts. And doesn't matter, you don't work during the day and sleep at night anymore. No, because you have the midnight shift. I worked the midnight shift after, that was a Freudian slip, the midnight shift. That's exactly what it was. I worked the midnight shift at the hospital for about 4 months, and I'm telling you, it's not normal. Do I need to say this? That it's unnatural? Do I really need to say that? I do. We've lost it. We have totally lost it. And they make fun of me. People make fun of me when I say I have to go to bed. What do you mean you have to go to bed? We're just starting, Martin. We're just starting. So I succumb to social pressures and I stay up late, and it screws me up every time. When I lose sleep, I lose the ability to cope. And this is all stems from a failure to recognize distinctions that God put into the world. And the first one is the simplest one. Evening and morning. Evening and morning. Here I go, jumping off on the first. This whole thing I'm doing now is to show you that Israel is the most time-conscious people. And I was going to blow through this. I was going to tell you there's the day, there's the week, there's the month, there's the year, there's the Sabbath year, and there's the Jubilee year. Oh, and there are the feasts, not to mention the feast. And so by all these means, and by the sewing together of all these things, Israel is the most time-conscious people that there is. And so the reason I'm telling you this is because I'm going to be quoting and giving you years from the book of the Israelites, namely the Bible, to continually tell you how important years are. And I know you want to get into the nuts and bolts. I gave you the year of the flood, 1565, 1650, whatever, sometime, 1625, Abraham, 1948. The first temple was dedicated in the year 3,000 years from Adam. This is interesting because the second temple, the true temple, comes in the year 6,000. 3,000 years dividing the temples, Solomon's temple and the real temple, the Ezekiel's temple that will stand during the millennium. Jesus Christ said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. 3 days. A day is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is as a day to God. 3 days, 3,000 years. 3,000 years from Solomon's temple comes the true temple. 3,000 years. It's fantastic. None of it is an accident. Of course, I told you that on Friday. I was a little crazy on Friday, but I just. Never mind. The week, by observing the Sabbath, that is, that day of stopping, the people of God had, more than any other people, the week as the best calendar aid in a short-term range. The Sabbath could not be ignored. You couldn't just, if you're in Israel, ignore the Sabbath, because Exodus 20, verse 8, it was to be kept holy. What does holy mean? Perfect. Separated. Holy means separated to God. Segregated. Set apart. Apart. If you're setting something apart, it means that you're distinguishing it from something else. You're holy. You are holy. You are who I'm talking to. And we know holiness has nothing to do with moral integrity. It has nothing to do with how well you're behaving yourself today. It's just that you're set apart by God for use. And by the mere nature of being set apart, it means you're being taken from other people. The other people are not set apart. And so Israel was to recognize one day above the other days, and that was the Sabbath day. So together with the 24 priestly courses, There were cycles for the priest, 24 priestly courses. Number 24 is significant, 12 times 2, 12 the number of administration. This was introduced by David in 1 Chronicles 24, verses 3 through 19. It provided the possibility to name specific dates within a month. even within 24 weeks. So how did they get more specific with their days? Because they had to recognize the courses of the priests. Since individuals did not have a calendar, the date, for example, on the third day of the service of the priestly course of Jechem, that's the 12th priestly course, was safer than stating the month with the day. We would say like April the 3rd. They would say, quote, on the third day of service of the priestly course of Jechem. Therefore, there were more specific time periods besides the week, but that's how they did it according to the priestly course. So God gets even more detailed with Israel. I told you this is the most time-conscious people to ever walk the planet. But I don't think they were so crazy as to divide it into minutes and seconds. Yeah, they had the third hour of the day. They had the watches of the night, which was maybe a two-hour period. But minutes, what the heck is the minute? Who invented the minute? I don't think a minute is a scriptural. If I find out different, then a minute is a scriptural demarcation, I will let you know. But I think this thing with the minutes is we have subdivided time. It's just like the Jews with the law. It wasn't good enough that you had 613 laws. No, they made more because they wanted this micro control. They wanted to be uber in control of everything. So we've divided the day into minutes and then minutes into seconds. And when I worked for the post office, I had to punch a time clock and I had to punch it right on the right second. Oh yeah, you couldn't punch it a minute, a second ahead of time or a second after time. You had to punch it exactly at the right time. So it was crazy. And by this, we drive ourselves mad. But I am slowing it down for you. And now I am looking at morning, at evenings and mornings. And as I give you the times of Israel, and as we count the days from Adam to the end of 6,000 years and the beginning of a 1,000-year period of stopping for God, for the people of God, I'm going to give you practical advice along the way. I'll never let you forget Paul, as you know, and I'll never stop giving you practical advice. Like the wisdom of God of the day and the evening and the morning, and of going to bed relatively soon after the setting of the sun, and getting up with the rising of the sun. And if you're crazy like me, you like to get up a little bit before the rising of the sun. That's what Jesus did. What would Jesus do? He would get up before the sun and he would go to the mountains and pray. The only mountains here in Florida are the overpasses. Those are the only hills we have is artificial bridges made to go over, for instance, the Intercoastal Waterway. That is how I would have to go to the Intercoastal Waterway Bridge on 17th Street in order to pray on an elevated place to be closer to God. But I'm not worried about physical elevations. We can talk to God anytime, anywhere from where we are. But, you know, do not ignore the things that God still separates. Believers from unbelievers, darkness from light, truth from lies, Christ from the disintegrator, evening from morning. And the Israelites, God bless them, as much as I might poke fun at them once in a while for getting some things wrong, I doubt that most Jews today even observe their own evening and morning cycle. So between the day, the week, the month, the year, the Sabbath year, the Jubilee year, and the feast, we are going to arrive at an accurate time schedule for the coming of the kingdom. So I might as well get into a little more detail for you with the sabbatical year and the feast, the month for Israel. Then, my friends, we go with that foundation in place. We will then go to the specific years where specific things happened, and the time bridges between specific events that will lead us from the creation of Adam, the first man, until today.